Welcome to the Transcend the Known podcast, where transcendentalism, parapsychology, and physics meet for coffee, and the entrance fee is an inquiring mind. Hello, and welcome to Transcend the Known, where we dare to question the known world and ask the question, what if? It's good to have you here and near as usual. On this episode, we're going to be discussing the great John Dee. Albert Einstein, Stephen Hawking, and others are famous for, among other noticeable things, being eager adherents of a singular calculation, like Einstein's E equals MC squared, or theory, ideology, that encompasses all of the known laws of physics. This so-called unified theory of everything would resolve all outstanding discrepancies and provide further insight into areas currently murky and unknown. This is not a relatively new concept or desire. This desire goes back hundreds of years. According to accounts, John Dee, born 1527, received his bachelor's degree at the age of 18, followed by his master's 3 years later. He was made a fellow of Trinity College in Cambridge at the young age of 19. He is considered by all accounts to have been a polymath. After spending a few years traveling in Europe and elsewhere, he worked diligently to become familiar with the royal court. Teaching math, consulting, and being the astrologer to Queen Mary I landed him in jail for a brief time. After his release, he worked with Queen Elizabeth for over 20 years, from 1550 to 1570 and on until her death, and developed a laboratory for the pursuit of alchemy, and amassed the greatest research and reading library in England at the time. According to Britannica.com, John Dee in 1564 published the Monas Hierographica, wherein he offered a single mathematical magical symbol as the key to unlocking the unity of nature, end quote. Not unlike the works of automatic writers we've discussed before, John Dee was reported to have been in a special mystical state when he wrote the Monas Hierographica. The word monad, meaning one, indivisible, atom, along with hierographica, meaning a sacred symbol. It was written as a collection of 26 postulates or theorems, indicative of his more scientific background than, say, Aleister Crowley. But the concept of possible right-sided dictation does exist, especially considering his belief that he was communicating with a godlike figure during a fevered writing frenzy that lasted for 12 days. Between theorems 1 and 2, Dee states that all natural things are encompassed by a straight line, a.k.a. the shortest distance between two points, and the circle, which is a congruence of arcs often representative of infinity and the cycles of beginning and endings. In symbology, this can be depicted as the straight line indicating the male and the circle indicating the female. Through subsequent theorems, Dee describes an almost Freudian interpretation of our most important celestial entities. The sun, he describes as powerful and masculine, and the moon as coy, flirting with the sun whose rays she wishes to be impregnated with. Some might decry the delusions of a highly narcissistic heterosexual male at work. For example, not all females wish to be impregnated, not all wish intercourse with males, and not all males wish intercourse with females. Anyway, it's still very entertaining to read. While others may sigh at the poetic romantic musings of a 16th century polymath. With Theorem 6, Dee states that the sun-moon godhead is stabilized by two lines joined in a cross, indicating the magical triad. His word choice for the intersection where these two lines meet is the copulating center. This, then, indicates three elements, according to him, the three indicative of the three magi, and the body, soul, and spirit. Four elements are evidenced by the four right angles and the six line segments of the two lines conjoined. And the four angles indicate an octet or eightfold element. You can see his layered thought process. The last portion of Theorem 6 is that the components of the body, soul, spirit, comprised in the number three, and the four elements, which one can imagine, indicates the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, west, and the three dimensions in which we exist, plus Einstein's time dimension, the four bonds created by carbon-based life forms, etc. According to Dee, this is the septenary, or the significant seven. Theorem 8 is where Dee finally introduces existential thought and alchemy into a thoroughly entertaining, perplexing, and rewarding summation. It hints at a delectable more-to-come transition. It is in this theorem that Dee links religion, science, and government. He states that the X, the 21st letter of the Roman alphabet, the number 21 reduces to 3 in numerology, was specifically chosen to represent the number 10, or as he puts it, a decan, because of the joined lines from four angles, according to Pythagoras, equals 10. In other words, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 gives you 10. He concludes that the ternary, or we would refer to it as tertiary, of two solid lines meeting at the center completes the quaternary, the four line segments, and that 3 plus 4 equals the Roman letter X, which is 10. So in other words, for us now, a decimal concept, or everything being 1 to 10 or 0 to 9, everything being based on a 10, is a composite of the four corners of the earth, the carbon four bonding system, the fire, air, earth, and water, the four elements known to him at the time, plus the mind, body, and spirit, which surmise to 10. As an aside, this might make you wish your bank performed math in this matter. Joining two separate deposits to create 10 would be quite wonderful, right? But aside from that, Theorem 10 is where he describes the choice of two conjoined hemispheres. Imagine in your head two upside-down U's joined in the center, like an upside-down loopy W, upside-down ram's horns, the astrological symbol for the sign Aries. Aries begins the astrological calendar on March 21st, the first day of spring, and marks the spring equinox. Typically, Aries is representative of the head, the beginning, new starts, fire, battling, intellect, the ram, and the god planet Mars. So Dee's monad, or singular symbol, is moon female, sun male, and the four elements, and ending in a rebirth. In Theorem 12, Dee postulates that being our only satellite, but at this time the belief was that the Earth was the center of the universe, otherwise known as a geocentric model. It would be more than 100 years from Dee's writing of this manuscript that Copernicus and Galileo's heliocentric, or sun-centered, model of the solar system would be embraced, even though they were around at the time. Galileo's famous, "And yet it moves," had yet to be uttered and believed at this point. In light of this backdrop, Dee's description of the evolution, if you will, of the five planets is charming. You'll see, Dee states that the moon, our only satellite, makes revolutions around the Earth, and after the first revolution becomes Saturn. Second revolution, it becomes Jupiter, and with the third revolution, it becomes Mercury. There's a reason why he builds it this way, which he goes into in future theorems. These descriptions come from the ancient symbols used to depict these planets. He's referring more to a spiritual or hypothetical evolution. He uses those symbols to state that Venus is a conjunction of the sun and the four elements, and that Mars is a conjunction of the sun and Aries, the ram's horns. If you, the next chance you get to look at an astrological symbol for the planets and the astrological signs, you'll see what he's referring to. The epitome of these symbolic references is Mercury, equal to the sun itself, in that the symbol for Mercury comprises the moon on top of the sun and the four earthly and spiritual elements in the shape of a cross. These, according to Dee, was why it was placed next to the sun. Theorem 16 is another bemusing theorem, where he states that in dissecting the four-element cross, two L-shaped symbols appear. And of course it does. If you cut it across the center, you'll get one, either a V, but it can be an L, two L's placed on top of one another. The Roman numeral 50 is represented by the letter L. So two L's equal 100, which is the Roman letter X representing 10 times itself. He goes on to mathematically prove that this encompasses the sun and the moon and all the elements, leading the reader to surmise the famous idiom, the parts making up the whole. The partial X, meaning the L in union with itself, with X gives one L, U for union, X, L-U-X, which in turn gives us the Latin word for light, lux. Advancing forward in the theorems, Dee magically connects the egg with its protein and water outer part and its cholesterol yellow center to the moon and the sun, in other words, the embryo, life itself, thereby fermenting this concept with the statement that nothing can exist without this monad hierographica, that within the monad hierographica and the sun center is the unifying theory of everything. Here, we're going to take a little bit of a break. I am right now looking at the Stitcher app. I don't know if you guys are aware, probably are, of the Stitcher podcast app that's available on Google Play and iTunes. It has some really fascinating podcasts. Passenger List, Mob Queens, Bill Nye, then there's Dolly Parton's America, Spooky Stories, well, you have that here, but still, Murder in Oregon, Sibling Revelry is another one with Kate Hudson. Yeah, it looks like a very, very good app. Very interesting. Secret Lives of Black Women. But it, all the shows are ad-free when you join Stitcher Premium. Only $4.99 a month. Or $34.99 for the entire year. You get Conan O'Brien, Needs a Friend, Wolverine, The Lost Trail, The Fantasy Footballers. Plus, you get access to Stitcher Originals, bonus episodes, comedy albums. There's a lot on here, guys. So, give it a try. Go to stitcher.com/premium and sign up today, $34.99 for the entire year. Plus, if you mention Transcend the Known, if you put that code in, you'll get 1 month for free to try it out. Plus, you know which show, Transcend the Known, is on it as well, so we know it has a lot of class. So give it a try. Again, mention Transcend the Known in the code area and get your first month for free. See you on Stitcher. As we progress to Theorem 23 out of 26 total theorems, Dee delves into the geometric arts. He explains that with great detail and precision that the monad contains all the basic concepts of geometry as well. That was known at that time, of course. Surprisingly, it is in this theorem that a Pythagorean matrix of modern calculus is shown. You'll see on the After Podcast post on Transcend the Known's website, I included a link to the actual monad hierographica itself. You'll see towards the bottom that he shows the calculus matrix. Dee states here that the monad contains all the figures for all the elements, the measurement of time and proportions assigned to the forces of all things. Intellect, according to him, or discernment, indicates truth. John Dee completes this manifesto by proclaiming that for those who have the ability to understand the contents within, and this is paraphrasing it, of course, truth is revealed. For those who cannot, they will be in despair. This was written between the 13th and the 23rd of January, 1564. So what has John Dee given us? It is obvious from this one document alone that Dee believed the monad contained what we would now call the unified theory of everything. Within the theorems, Dee connects the symbol to anatomy and physiology, the mathematical sciences, spiritual and occult forces, and finally, the Godhead itself. In this time period, this would comprise all the known arts. There was no awareness of viruses or bacteria, the true center of the solar system, galaxy, or much less the universe. Another revelation from the monad is that, for Dee at least, the everything, the universality of the all, if you will, begins with the unification of the male and female within one unit. This calls to mind the Gospel of Thomas quite a bit. That John Dee would ever have heard about it or been privy to some covert copy is highly doubtful, given how the Gospel of Thomas was the codex was found. But within that text as well, Jesus is recorded as having stated that those with eyes can see what the meaning of his words truly are, hinting that others will leave perplexed. Jesus also states that in order to truly develop the kingdom of heaven that is within each of us individually, we must unify the male aspect with the female aspects of our psyche. The correlation in that one particular to Dee's monad would be the intertwining of the female moon with the male sun, which Dee did. Biological life forms on Earth are carbon-based. Therefore, the four bonds, or as Dee might phrase it, the four elements are satisfied there. It might be safe to postulate from this that one of the foundation for Dee's unified theory of anything actually begins within the bicameral left-right-brained human psyche, or a psychological godhead. It's odd, but somehow from the perspective of human continuity, oddly comforting, that through all the amazing human achievements and some outstanding failures, the curiosity and profound interest in the esoteric remained steadfast and survived centuries. So, could we say that John Dee was a transcendent being? Well, the first thing that strikes me in assigning that label to Dee is that there's no name change. He was born, lived, and died with the same name. He was a prodigy, and he was a polymath. That may have been enough. Also, and this is rather vital, there was no profound event that seems to have changed the course of his life. Alternately, there are unusual similarities that can be drawn with Rasputin and Crowley, not so much Akhenaten, who still stands rather alone in many regards. For example, the similarities shared with Crowley start during Dee's time with the seer Edward Kelly, whom most accounts describe as a fraud. Dee traveled with Kelly for roughly 7 years, and they engaged in special seances where they often ended up speaking in tongues, including a, here's the connection with, the extra connection with Crowley, including the unique language they called Enochian. Now, by all standard accounts, Dee had very good intentions. He was so deeply intrigued in finding a spiritual connection to the physical form. So if you place Crowley in Edward Kelly's place, and if you eliminate the drugs and sexuality, the events are eerily similar. Similarities lie with Rasputin as well, in that his undeserved evildoer reputation outlasted him. Although you could say that Dee didn't really do anything to deserve it, but at that time, magicians were, depending on whose favor they curried, were either seen as some sort of a god, or they were seen as demons, witches, warlocks. So his evildoer reputation outlasted him, and like Rasputin again, he was held in very high esteem by a queen and her court, and there he was highly influential. It wasn't until centuries after his death, sadly, that Dee's reputation of maliciousness and demonic activities was finally overturned. His skill in cartography, navigation itself, recommendations to Queen Elizabeth, for example, that England adopt the Gregorian calendar with corrections, way ahead of his time, and more than this, have led most historians to state that John Dee was vilified by some during his lifetime due to the obvious fact that he was very well educated, apparently very intelligent, and with foresight well ahead of his peers. Even as we saw during this quick introduction, his development of a monad hieroglyphica, although perfectly in tune with the alchemical desire to create life from a non-living or inorganic source, was centuries ahead of its time in its desire to unify all the known mathematic, scientific, and spiritual religious truths of the time into one symbol. The after podcast post on the Transcendent Known website contains some images, some references for this podcast, and it contains, again, the monad hieroglyphica itself. It might be worth it for you to take a look at it. The way it's written is quite entertaining in a very positive way. Whether you agree with any of his assertions or not, it's entertaining. He sounds like he was a very charming man. Thank you for joining me on this episode. And until next time, remember to allow your imagination the freedom it needs while keeping your feet firmly entrenched in terra firma.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Transcend the Known. Till we meet again, take care and remember every day, in every way, to question the known world. Hey, are you looking for that perfect website? A website host that offers everything from custom designed to the do-it-yourself website at a fraction of what the competitors offer? Check out 1&1ionos.com. They offer website hosting starting for as little as $5 a month, and that includes 5 email addresses. Do you already have a website, but you're tired of the prices and the hidden fees your host charges? 1&1 Ionos provides web hosting with porting of your existing account, 10 free email addresses, and much more, starting at $4 a month. This is just a small sampling of their services. Send me an email at info@transcendthenome.com or go yourself to 1&1ionos.com and get started today. You won't regret it.